Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's EHS podcast for the week ending May 15th. My name is Alan Nguyen, and I'll be bringing you the latest news in environmental health and safety. So our first story comes out of the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, also known as NIOSH. So recently, a NIOSH study evaluating firefighters in the statewide California Cancer Registry found that they had increased risk of several major cancers, and that Black and Hispanic firefighters had increased risk for more types of cancer than white firefighters. And for the purpose of the study, only male adult subjects are included. The study identified 3,996 male firefighters with cancer. The agency notes that firefighting is considered one of the most hazardous occupations and involves regular exposure to known carcinogens. The study used data from 1988 to 2007 and found that firefighters have increased risk for several cancers, including melanoma, acute leukemia, multiple myeloma, and cancers of the esophagus, prostate, brain, and kidney. Black and Hispanic firefighters, unlike white firefighters, also had increased risk of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, chronic lymphomic leukemia, myeloid leukemia, and cancers on the tongue and bladder. NIOSH's director, Dr. John Howard, was quoted as saying that California has the largest statewide cancer registry in the country, and states that the focus study generates novel findings for firefighters of various race and ethnicities, and strengthens the body of evidence to support the association between firefighting and several specific cancers. The study is available online from the American Journal of Industrial Medicine. It included more firefighters with cancer than any previous study, allowing the authors to assess the association between firefighters and the development of 32 different cancers in all firefighters combined, and also in firefighters of various races and ethnicities. 14 of the 32 cancers assessed had significantly elevated risk in one or more firefighter groups. And if you'd like to find the report, we provided a link in the resources section of this podcast. So our next story deals with the correlation between youth workers and injuries in the workplace. So a recent study found that youth workers are one of the more vulnerable segments of the workforce and thus are more likely to get hurt on the job. And a new study found that when young workers do suffer minor injuries, they're reluctant to report the injury or the conditions that caused it. So Haskin School of Business professor Nick Turner co-authored the study, which appears in the June issue of the Journal of Safety Research, with Sean Tucker of the University of Regina and Kevin Kellaway of St. Mary's University. The study examined the self-reported frequency of non-work time injuries or micro-accidents over a four-week period from a sample of more than 19,000 young workers in Canada. Micro-accidents result from the same condition that can lead to more severe injuries. The researchers also examined the frequency of three types of work-related safety behaviors: safety voice, safety compliance, and safety neglect, recalled over that four-week period. Such behaviors could keep young workers from getting injured. So some of the highlights from the study's findings found that approximately one-third of all young workers recalled experiencing at least one micro-accident in the last 4 weeks. Younger workers between the ages of 15 and 18 reported less safety voice, less safety compliance, and more safety neglect than workers aged 19 to 22. That is, this group of young workers spoke up less frequently in the face of dangerous work and reported neglecting work safety rules more frequently than their older counterparts. Young males reported more micro-accidents and more safety voice, safety compliance, and safety neglect than young females. So how do you get young workers to report unsafe conditions and minor injuries while complying with the company's safety rules? Well, parents, siblings, friends, teachers, and coworkers can all help stress the importance of work and attitudes of work in young workers. But when it comes to workplace safety, research shows that it's the supervisor who has the most social influence. Young workers with supervisors who show the young workers they care about safety are more inclined to speak up about dangerous work, and this, in turn, seems to be related to lower workplace injuries. In addition, we've provided a link to the OHS Insider's New and Young Workers Compliance Center, which has resources that can help you better protect these vulnerable workers, including a young worker orientation checklist you can download and use to create a young worker safety training program, an infographic on new and young workers you can display in your workplace, an example of how one workplace improved its young worker training program, and posters geared towards new and young workers. So be sure to check out the resource link for that. And our final story, coincidentally, deals with another study, this time done in the oil industry. So a new study conducted by scientists from Oregon State University and the University of Cincinnati has revealed that people living or working near active natural gas wells may be exposed to certain pollutants at higher levels than the Environmental Protection Agency, also known as the EPA, considers safe for lifetime exposure. The research found that hydraulic fracking, which is a technique used for releasing natural gas from below, emits pollutants known as polysilic aromatic hydrocarbons, including some that are linked with increased risk of cancer respiratory ailments. The study, which appears in the journal Environmental Science and Technology's online edition, is part of a larger project co-led by the University of Cincinnati's Aaron Haynes. Air samples were collected from sites near active natural gas wells in Carroll County, Ohio, over a three-week period last February. Carroll County sits on top of the Utica Formation, a deep oil and gas-rich reef of shale. The rural county is a hotspot for natural gas prospecting, with more than one active well site per square mile. So the way the study came about was when a group of citizens approached Aaron Haynes, who is a public health expert, wanting to know more about health risks from natural gas extraction. Haynes then got in touch with fellow researchers and began to design the study. They placed air samples on the properties of 23 volunteers living or working at sites ranging from right next to the gas well to a little more than 3 miles away. The samplers are aluminum T-shaped boxes containing specialty treated polyethylene ribbons that absorb contaminants in a similar manner to biological cells. Volunteers were trained in proper handling of samplers and documenting of data. After the study period, the volunteers packaged the samplers in airtight bags, labeled them, and mailed them back to the research lab in Oregon State University. The samplers picked up high levels of PAHs across the study area, and the study showed that levels were highest closest to the wells and decreased by about 30% with distance. And if you'd like to read the full press release, we've provided a link in the resource section of this podcast. And that concludes this week's EHS podcast. If you'd like to learn more about any of the stories that we covered in today's podcast, be sure to check out the resource links. And as always, thanks for listening.